How's this for a cool job title? Planetary Defence Scientist. I guess if your day job's improving humanity's strategies to protect Earth from potential asteroid impacts, that's definitely something worth doing. And that's what Rahil Makadia does, including as part of the NASA project known as DART, the Double Asteroid Redirection Test. Back in 2022, the DART mission deliberately crashed a spacecraft into the 170-meter-wide asteroid Dimorphos, nudging it off its orbit around the larger asteroid Didymos. I said deliberate crashing. They call it the kinetic impact method. DART was the first real-world test of whether humans could deflect a potentially dangerous asteroid. Dimorphos now orbits Didymos with a period 33 minutes shorter than before the DART impact. And Rahil Makadia and his colleagues have recently published new findings about the effects of DART in Science Advances. That was on the 6th of March, and I'm very pleased to say that Rahil joins us now. Welcome to Sunday Extra.
Thanks for having me, Julian.
Could you start by giving us just an overview of what the DART mission was?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you mentioned, it was a test of what's called the kinetic impact method of deflecting asteroids away from the Earth. And yeah, that sounds scientific, but the basic idea really is you take something really fast and smash it into an asteroid to see if you can push it away from the Earth. And yeah, the whole idea behind doing the DART mission was to make sure that if we ever need to deflect an asteroid away from the Earth, that we're not doing that for the first time when it's under a high-stakes environment. To do this sort of test beforehand, to make sure that we know how to do this and we know what the outcomes are and we know how to predict them.
So what are the odds that Earth might find itself in a more mission critical scenario of the DART test?
The odds right now are pretty low. Our discovery mechanisms and our impact monitoring mechanisms are pretty well established at this point. I think for more than a couple of decades now, automatic impact monitoring systems have been tracking all known asteroids on a long-term 100 or so year scale. So every asteroid we know about is not an impact risk at a significant level for the next 100 years or so. So we should all be sleeping easy.
That's a good start. Just out of interest as well, why is it DART rather than ART? Why was this a double asteroid redirection test?
So the whole idea behind doing this test at a double asteroid, or what's called a binary asteroid system, was because we have this second asteroid, the smaller asteroid Dimorphos, that's orbiting around the primary asteroid Didymos. Before the DART impact, it used to take Dimorphos 12 hours to complete one orbit around Didymos. And because of the shorter timescale, we could hit Dimorphos and, you know, we'd have a chance once every 12 hours to measure what the changes in this motion around Didymos were. So it was because of this rapid testability that we were able to conclude, even just a couple of weeks after the impact had happened in 2022, that the time it took Dimorphos to orbit Didymos had been reduced by around 33 minutes.
So you were able to work that out within a couple of weeks. What's new about the analysis of the effect of DART that you and your colleagues have just published?
So what we found recently is that not only did Dimorphos' orbit around Didymos change, but the entire binary system's orbit around the sun has also been altered as a result of this DART impact.
That is really interesting. And from the paper, it looks like one of the things that you looked at was momentum enhancement factors. What are momentum enhancement factors, Rahil?
The momentum enhancement factor, or what we like to call it, the beta parameter. So what happens when a kinetic impact happens on an asteroid is that as soon as the impact or spacecraft hits the asteroid, there is material that was already on the asteroid, like rocks, pebbles, boulders, that gets ejected off the surface of the asteroid. And this material escaping away from the asteroid acts as an additional jet plume that enhances the total work done by the impact or spacecraft. So what we have is a spacecraft that hits, rams into the asteroid at massive speeds and delivers an initial push. And then this jet plume coming off of the asteroid surface that enhances that push. And the momentum enhancement parameter, or the beta parameter, basically quantifies what the contribution of this jet plume was in relation to what the contribution of the spacecraft was.
And so how significant was the enhanced momentum factor?
Yeah, it turns out for DART, very significant. And this makes us, you know, this confirms the idea that this should always be accounted for when modeling kinetic impact missions. So for DART, what we found was that the beta parameter was around 2, which means that They eject this rocket plume from the material escaping the asteroid did just as much work as the DART spacecraft itself. So you can think of a value of beta equals one as the sort of normalizing factor of what the spacecraft alone did. So if anyone ever says that the beta parameter for a kinetic impact was just one, that just means that only the spacecraft did all the pushing of the asteroid. And anything above one is additional free push that you can get from this material that's escaping. So for DART, it turns out that we got another one's worth of additional push from this material escaping the asteroid system.
And do you have a sense of whether that was critical to this new effect that you've observed, which is the changed course of the whole system around the sun?
It is critical to modeling the effects of the kinetic impact, right? It's basically the difference between, you know, if we had only accounted for the DART spacecraft deflection, we would have underestimated by a factor of half what the total deflection was, right? So if you can think of a hypothetical future scenario where we need to push an asteroid clear off the Earth, we would have only needed to do half the work that otherwise we would have thought we needed to do in order to push the asteroid clear of the Earth. So if we need to, you know, only do half the work and get the free push away from the asteroid.
Very handy to
know.
That's
something we should
absolutely. We're speaking with planetary defense scientist Rahil Makadia on Sunday Extra about the new study of the effect of the kinetic impact method, also known as crashing a spacecraft into an asteroid. Now, Rahil, one of the methods that was used in this study you've published is stellar occultation. So it does sound to me that you have been dabbling a little bit in the occult. What is stellar occultation all about?
No need to worry about occults. Solar occultation is simply a measurement of an asteroid as it passes in front of a star as viewed from the Earth. So if we're looking at a star and an asteroid passes in front of it and we're able to capture that, that's a stellar occultation measurement. Now, the basic idea behind getting these measurements, these stellar occultations, is that we know the positions of stars significantly better then we can track asteroids because asteroids are moving in the sky as we view them, but stars are relatively stationary. So if we can catch an asteroid while it's passing in front of a star, what happens is that momentarily the light that we receive from the star is dimmed because the asteroid is casting a shadow on the Earth. But in that exact moment of dimming, we know that the position of the star and the asteroid in the sky is the exact same. So we can use the very much better known star position to find out the position of the asteroid at that exact instant. And turns out we can get measurements of asteroids that are 100 to 1,000 times better than traditional ground-based measurements as a result of this technique.
Well, that is good to hear. And I'm relieved to know that there's nothing to worry about stellar occultation, because as far as I can tell, you were involved in mobilizing stellar occultists all around the world for this study. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. So because, you know, these asteroids are passing in front of the stars and the shadow can be cast anywhere on the planet, so we have to be ready and be able to go where these occultations shadow might be in the Earth. And, you know, for Didymos, there were around 22 stellar occultation measurements all across the world. And, you know, there were few in America, few in Europe, few in Japan, Australia as well. In fact, one of the observations, there was an observer who drove 2 days each way into the Australian outback to get us one of these measurements, which is, I still think it's very cool.
Oh, fantastic. Good on the Aussie citizen scientists and indeed all the stellar occultists around the world. I did love that the Australians who were involved were part of a group of amateur astronomers belonging to the Trans-Tasman Occultation Association. Although a little bit perplexed why that's a section of the Royal Astronomical Society of New Zealand. But I digress, Rahil. Let's get back to your study. The amount that the asteroid, the binary system's orbit around the sun slowed was, I think, 11.7 microns per second. Now, that sounds like a small change, but is it significant in terms of the big picture of the scenario that you're concerned about, which is a large asteroid on collision course with anywhere but Earth in particular?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like you said, it sounds tiny, you know, 11.7 microns per second. But when we start accumulating it, the whole idea behind the kinetic impact method is that you deliver a very small push, but you do it early enough so the push has time to accumulate. So for example, 11.7 microns per second adds up to around 360 meters per year. Right. So once you start adding up years and decades behind the impact, because we can track these asteroids and predict their motions for 100 years, we can design kinetic impact missions decades in advance and implement them. Another thing to note is that deflecting the orbit of the Didymos asteroid system around the sun wasn't the primary goal of the DART mission. So the spacecraft wasn't designed to deliver a big push on the asteroid's orbit around the sun. So hypothetically, we could, build bigger spacecraft to deliver an even bigger push. But once again, the idea behind kinetic impact is a small push early enough gets the job done.
Yeah, right. We haven't talked about the particular spacecraft that was chosen. Was it a custom-built asteroid smasher?
That's right, yeah. The spacecraft itself was built at the Applied Physics Lab at the Johns Hopkins University out on the east coast of the United States, yeah.
And it may be a bit late in the interview to be asking this, but hopefully not late in the DART mission. But having knocked the binary system into a different orbit, we haven't increased the chances that it's going to hit Earth, have we?
No, not at all. So we looked into this even before the DART impact happened. We've been looking into this after the DART impact as well. There's no chance to be worried about Didymos system impacting the Earth. That would have defeated the entire purpose of doing this test in the first place.
And can you give us a time guarantee on that, Rahil?
At least for the next 100 years or so.
You can
get a guarantee from me on that.
That's better than your standard warranty. That sounds pretty good.
That's right.
Is what you've done about as far as the research on the DART mission and its effects can be taken?
Not at all. This is just the latest cool result that we've gotten out of the DART mission in the little over 3 years since impact at this point. But worry not, because there's another spacecraft called Hera from the European Space Agency that is currently on its way to the Didymos system, and it's supposed to get there at the end of this year. So once the spacecraft gets there, it will be there just to study the aftermath of DART in detail. So we'll have many cool results, at the beginning of next year or towards the middle of next year once the scientists actually have the chance to study the data.
So what sort of data will the Hera mission be able to get from Didymos or Dimorphos?
Sure, yeah. So the Hera mission will be there and it'll be orbiting the system. And so it'll first of all take data on a longer timescale than DART. DART only came in and was around for a few seconds before it went in and impacted Dimorphos. So there wasn't a whole lot of time to get data. The Hera spacecraft also has specifically designed instruments on board to measure things like the density of the two asteroids, which we were able to measure, but the Hera spacecraft will give us more precise measurements of those quantities. It'll also be able to give us insights into the sort of internal structure of these asteroids, which we weren't able to study from DART, because all DART was able to do was take pictures of the asteroids on its way in. And more so than that, it'll be there for, months. So we don't know. Every asteroid that humanity has visited has given us something new to study and something new to think about. So, it's exciting times ahead for the
Didymos
system.
Lots to look forward to from the Hera mission. Rahil, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That's Rahil Makadia, who's the lead author of the study in Science Advances on an Asteroid's Heliocentric Deflection, the Didymos System After DART.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.